Thus, the great looming question, what is the source of the great light of a spiritually advanced soul? The answer that is not at all understood in modern times, because, as stated above, time is a dimension of mind and the past lives of each soul continue to dwell within what can be portrayed as the soul-mind matrix portrayed by Saint Teresa of Avila in the reality that the soul, writes Saint Teresa, is as a castle made of a single diamond in which there are many rooms. Just as in heaven there are many mansions, interior castle by Saint Teresa of Avila. Each soul-generated personality which the soul has lived through dwells in what Saint Teresa portrays as a single room within the soul mansion or matrix. And when this higher reality is understood, the light of the soul is the product of the above personification of Gospel of Thomas saying 22, that is, the merger of the lower with the upper, the left with the right, and the inner and the outer across the spectrum of time manifesting in the present in the light of each individual soul, which means that the intensity and depth of light of each soul is the product, across the dimension of time, of the connections and merger of male/female opposites as manifest in the upper/lower, left/right and inner/outer aspects of soul-mind through the personalities that the soul has lived. In the same way that within the mind of God the ALL exists across the spectrum of the seven kingdoms and each soul is as a vertical slice of the divine pie of creation, holographically containing all aspects of creation, the animal kingdom is an integral part of the mind of God, also the mind of the soul, and as well the mind of man. And when the soul personality/image is generated and made part of the body at conception, the body of that person is formed by the lower three kingdoms coming together within the womb of the mother, which lower nature collected from the lower three kingdoms, then forms the physical body of the fetus. Man is of the fourth kingdom and brings together within himself the three upper heavenly kingdoms and the three lower earthly kingdoms. But at physical death, the mineral, vegetable and animal kingdoms are released back into nature where they continue their existence as the animals of this world. This process is somewhat explored at the subheading Organic Man ruled over by his lower animal nature, which means that the animals that man interacts with in the outer world are very much the lower nature of people who are not presently manifest in the earth. But it is important to understand that these animals in the outer world are acting as catalysts for each person to interact with their own lower animal nature, which means that if you eat the flesh of dead animals, you are strengthening the beast of your own lower nature, thereby inhibiting the process of refinement and in evolution, and karmically, your own lower animal nature, once released back into the world, will suffer the same fate you subject the animal kingdom to. Quoting from the foregoing link, once again, we must pose the question as to what is the level of consciousness of those who can be portrayed as a cosmic ovum and sperm, a reality that modern Christians are not even prepared to come to terms with as presented in the statement by one of the earliest of Christian writers named Justin Martyr, where he makes reference to the doctrine of transmutation, that is, the embodiment of a person in the body of a beast which is portrayed as punishment for the misdeeds of a previous life, when he, Justin, answers the question of Trypho, the Jew, and writes, "And what do those suffer who are judged to be unworthy of this spectacle?" said he. "They are imprisoned in the bodies of certain wild beasts, and this is their punishment." Dialogue of Justin with Trypho, a Jew, which provokes the question, is this really a teaching of Jesus and the original Ebionite Nazarene Christians? Where could such a thought have originated? If the Gospels had not been corrupted, Christians would have access to the teaching which has been preserved in the 88th chapter of the Gospel of the Nazarenes, where Jesus states, "Love you one another and all the creatures of God. Yet I say to you, not all are men who are in the form of man. Are they men or women in the image of God, whose ways of violence, of oppression and wrong, who choose a lie rather than the truth? No, truly, till they are born again and receive the spirit of love and wisdom within their hearts. Then only are they sons and daughters of Israel, and being of Israel they are children of God. And for this cause came I into the world, and for this I have suffered at the hands of sinners." Going even one step further, the Church Father Origen explains that, by some inclination toward evil, certain spirit souls come into bodies, first of men, then, due to their association with the irrational passions after the allotted span of human life, They are changed into beasts, from which they sink to the level of plants. From this condition, they rise again through the same stages and are restored to their heavenly place. Origin, on first principles. B.W. Butterworth, translator. What is being said is that while man is of the fourth kingdom, that is with the mineral, vegetable, and animal below him, and the first three kingdoms of nature, the soul's birth and the physical body presents to that soul the opportunity to become of the fourth kingdom, which we associate with the kingdom of man. And what the soul-generated personality achieves in this life will determine whether that person is able to achieve the necessary subsequent stages of birth. With respect to the fourth kingdom and the upper three heavenly and lower three earthly kingdoms, Manly P. Hall wrote in The Secret Teachings of All Ages, man's three bodies are symbolized by an upright triangle, his threefold spiritual nature by an inverted triangle. These two triangles, when united in the form of a six-pointed star, were called by the Jews the Star of David, the Signet of Solomon, and are more commonly known today as the Star of Zion. These triangles symbolize the spiritual and material universes linked together in the constitution of the human creature, who partakes of both nature and divinity. Man's animal nature partakes of the earth, his divine nature of the heavens, his human nature of the mediator. Manly P. Hall. So long as man is motivated and controlled by the appetites and the consciousness of the lower three kingdoms, he will remain immersed in what Paul portrayed as animal soul consciousness that is incapable of higher comprehension. And while man can attempt to negate and suppress his carnal animal appetites and consciousness while focusing on the upper three centers in the head without the balanced development of all the spiritual centers, it will remain impossible to achieve wholeness, and without wholeness, it will remain impossible to initiate and achieve the next stage of soul birth. Where it is written in the above that man's human nature must be the moderator between the upper three and lower three kingdoms, which must be brought into the center as portrayed in the version of Gospel of Thomas saying 22 that has been preserved in the Gospel of the Nazarenes. And one of the disciples asked him, how shall a man enter into the kingdom? And he answered and said, if you don't make below as the above, and the left as the right, and the behind as the before, entering into the center and passing into the spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. To enter into the center requires all 12 spheres of mind as patterned in the tree of life to be fully evolved and existing in a state of harmonic balance, which means that the male/female outer columns of the tree of duality must be brought together in the center, which can only be accomplished when the division of the upper three and lower three spiritual centers are brought together in the center. A most important reality is presented in the above quotation that has perpetually confused the modern Bible reader, that is, no, truly, till they are born again and receive the spirit of love and wisdom within their hearts. Then only are they sons and daughters of Israel, and being of Israel, they are children of God. This verse explains and supports the statement. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matt 10:5-7. And again Jesus said, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matt 15:24. Why was Jesus sent only to the children of the house of Israel? Because only those who can be portrayed as spiritual Israel, who have themselves been nourished by the fruit of the tree of life and are in the process of achieving the next stage of birth, have attained the necessary level of completion within themselves and are therefore able to receive the whole of the gospel teachings directly from the indwelling Logos/Son of God, who is called the true prophet. When rightly understood, the leaders of the Jews were condemned by Jesus, because they were the personification of counterfeit Israel, who were portrayed as blind guides because, having received the royal law of the Most High, they observe it outwardly in ritual and tradition. Only spiritual Israel is no longer controlled by their lower animal nature and have either achieved or are in the process of achieving the next stage of birth into the kingdom of man. If, as stated in the above, there are beasts who walk in the form of man and exist at varying levels in the process of achieving the next stage of birth that would make them of the fourth kingdom of man, then humanity exists at greatly varying levels between walking the earth as a beast in the form of man and actually achieving the next stage of birth that would manifest them in the fullness of the fourth kingdom. Further, only those who are portrayed as the spiritual house of Israel are able to enter through the narrow gate within them into the kingdom and learn in the presence of the Logos/Son of God. It isn't that man incarnates as an animal, but rather, at physical death, his animal nature is returned back into nature in accord with the consciousness form it has evolved to, and this same animal nature will once again form the physical body the next time the soul incarnates into another soul personality. And this is why in the Gospel of the Nazarenes, see, the animal kingdom is portrayed as our lesser brothers, and karmically, as we do to the animals we encounter in this life, the same will be returned back to your own animal nature. On the other hand, the vegetable kingdom is very much as the soul of the lower three kingdoms, which is why the Alice Bailey writings, see, can be quoted as stating. One point of interest might here be noted. It is known esoterically that the vegetable kingdom is the transmitter and the transformer of the vital pranic fluid to the other forms of life on our planet. That is its divine and unique function. This pranic fluid, in its form of the astral light, is the reflector of the divine Akasha. The second plane therefore reflects itself in the astral plane. Those who seek to read the Akashic records, or who endeavor to work upon the astral plane with impunity, and there to study the reflection of events in the astral light correctly, have perforce and without exception to be strict vegetarians. In the same way that the vegetable kingdom supplies organic life with life-giving oxygen, the vegetable kingdom supplies man with life-giving light that is the balance of the three lower kingdom and is the only food that a sincere seeker should eat. And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Gen 1:29-31 NKJ. The matrix of soul mind. How does the soul grow its light? In the subheading entitled The Enigma of Time and the Soul of Man, it is demonstrated that time is merely a dimension of mind within the higher reality of the soul self existing within the great matrix of mind of the soul. Thus, the encyclopedia states that, in mathematics, a matrix, plural matrices, or less commonly matrices, is a rectangular array of numbers, symbols, or expressions. The individual items in a matrix are called its elements or entries, and in the mental matrix of the soul, each previous soul-generated image which lived as a person must eventually return to its source and represents a point of consciousness within a field of dynamic life experiences of the soul self that is the sum total of all the experiences of all the lives that the soul has lived. Where Eastern, New Age and pop psychology that ascribes to the collective consciousness philosophy that often imagines God as a great amoeba where oneness means the same. Just the opposite is true, and oneness is the sum total of a great diversity of different experiences and conscious realities that complete and bring about wholeness. And since the soul was created in the holographic image of God, then the soul in like manner is the sum total of all the life experiences of all the images that when they return to their source in the higher soul self, exist as points of consciousness and being within the mansion of the soul self. And in many respects, this higher soul reality can be portrayed as the embodiment of what the church portrays as hell, because each image personality within the matrix of the soul mind continues to dwell in the reality of the life that it lived here on earth. The church father Origen stated that every soul comes into this world strengthened by the victories or weakened by the defeats of its previous life, Origen. D. Prince of Peace, and these strengths and weaknesses are the direct expression of the victories and slash or defeats dynamically manifest within the matrix of the soul mind that each person in the present life draws upon. Where man envisions memory as being stored and ingrained in a computer-like storage disk that can be looked up, such a scenario is simply not the case. All the past images that the soul has lived as continues to exist within the matrix of the soul mind and as portrayed by Saint Teresa It can be said that each has its own room or space within the countless segments of the castle of the soul. And since time is a dimension of mind, see the enigma of time and the soul of man. Each of these past image personalities exist as points of consciousness within the soul-mind matrix. Within the matrix of the soul that lived as Hitler, the personality of Hitler still dwells as a point of consciousness that continues his former existence. And in like manner, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef expressed the mystical teachings of the Jewish sage Isaac Luria when he stated that the 6 million Holocaust victims were reincarnations of the souls of sinners, people who transgressed and did all sorts of things that should not be done. See the chickens come home to roost. Which means that within the matrix of mind of the soul who lived as Hitler, exists a previous image personality who were victimized by the people who lived as Jews under Nazi Germany. In the same foregoing link, I present the example of Barack Obama's spiritual advisor, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who subscribes to what is called Black Liberation Theology. And within the matrix of the soul mind of the Reverend Wright exists an image personality that previously lived as a white slave owner. Which means that the Reverend Wright's hatred of white people is the result of his abominations towards the black race by a previous soul image that continues to dwell within the matrix of the Reverend Wright's soul. Mankind, who Jesus portrays as dwelling in the outer darkness of mind and being, or what Plato portrays as a cave of illusions, dwells within a holographic reality that exists within a larger holograph that he cannot gain access to without the proper development of mind. And while the laws of creation orchestrate the events based upon man's own past experiences in the present, see the laws of creation, and it is these laws and forces which the deists portrayed as being endowed with self-sustaining and self-acting powers, acting as second causes which orchestrate and even script the lives of man in the present that cause him to confront his own self, that is, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Gal 6:7 NIV. It is the development of man's intuitive spheres of mind that provides him direct access into the previous soul images within the matrix of the soul mind that has orchestrated the events that man is experiencing in the present. See spiritual intuitive development. If Hitler had been able to directly draw upon his previous experiences as a victim of the aggression of those people who in his life were born as Jews, who Rabbi Yosef portrayed as having previously lived as sinners, people who transgressed and did all sorts of things that should not be done, then he might have been able to draw upon the insight to break the perpetual loop of the laws. See Groundhog Day and what's wrong with wearing a seat belt? And he would have been able to overcome the laws which the deists portrayed as being endowed with self-sustaining and self-acting powers, and free himself from the shackles of what Jesus portrayed as the prison or the conditions of birth. Did the Jews who prayed for deliverance from Hitler invoke the law of grace by repenting from their own past actions which had orchestrated their lives in the present? Perhaps the best answer to this question is found in another question. Has the Reverend Wright repented from his own past as a white slave owner? And in accord with the conditions of the prison of which Jesus stated, "Thou shalt by no means come out from there till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing," Matt 5:26. Would people act differently if they realized that their present experiences is a direct result of the previous actions of their own past soul images? In most instances, the religious/philosophical and political leaders in the present were the leaders in the past, and they are merely confronting their own previous actions. That their followers who blindly attach themselves to these leaders share in the fate of what the laws orchestrate, as each man confronts his own past actions, is a reality that can be portrayed as a common destiny under the laws. The Germans who followed Hitler will in the future follow their leader into a type of future hell. In like manner, those who sit in the congregation of people such as the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who blames the white race from their plight as a black man, will continue in the future to share in the destiny that awaits them based upon their present allegiance to the Reverend Wright. And this is true of all of mankind with respect to the good, the bad, and the truly ugly events of this world. The law is that as you do unto others, the same will be returned to you. And while this return may not be in the present life, it will come back upon the soul until the last debt is repaid and neutralized, that is, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. See getting out of the prison. And of even greater importance is the fact that so long as debts are owed to one's brothers and sisters, it remains impossible to fulfill the laws and manifest the final temple within oneself. See the laws, the gift on the altar, which renders such a person totally incapable of true spiritual development and advancement, and incapable of understanding the higher reality of the soul, which means that such a person is doomed to failure as a generated soul image, until the debts under the laws are first satisfied and overcome. To understand the source of soul light, it is imperative to understand the cosmology of mind and the soul-mind matrix where all the previous soul-generated personalities that the soul has lived as not only continue to dwell in what the mystic Saint Teresa portrayed as a castle made of a single diamond in which there are many rooms, just as in heaven there are many mansions, interior castle by Saint Teresa of Avila. In the castle or mansion of the soul exists the previously soul-generated personalities that continue to make the connection between the upper three heavenly kingdoms and the lower three earthly kingdoms in that soul's individual slice of the vertical pie of creation. Light is the product of the merger of opposites within each soul as portrayed in Gospel of Thomas saying 22. Jesus said to them, "When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom." In each life the soul lives as a soul-generated personality. Connections are made that connect the foregoing opposites within the mind of the soul equal self that is the inside with the outside, and the above with the below, thereby making the male and the female one and the same. And once the soul-generated personalities are reattached to their source in the higher soul self, they act as dynamic neurons in the mind of the soul that grows the light of the soul. How much light each soul-generated personality can add to the soul self is totally dependent upon the degree that they accomplished and fulfilled the above requirement of the Gospel of Thomas. When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male nor the female female. And it is those soul-generated personalities that actually achieve the next stage of birth and fulfill the law and the gospel within themselves, that become the source of the light of the soul. And it is this reality within the soul-mind matrix that is presented in Gospel of Thomas saying 84, and is conveyed in the words, Jesus said, "When you see your likeness, you rejoice. But when you see your images which came into being before you, and which neither die nor become manifest, how much you will have to bear." What is being stated? Saying 84 presents what is portrayed as your likeness, and your images. The images that failed to become manifest are those soul-generated personalities that were basically followers to the thinking, mindset, and cultural/religious lifestyles of this world and being of this world. They failed to achieve the next stage of soul birth that is necessary to become manifest. And this is why the vast majority of souls appear as weak, flickering lights. Yet, even in the failure of these soul-generated images/personalities, they continue to exist as building blocks that act as a connection and catalyst of advancement by connecting the upper three heavenly kingdoms with the lower three earthly kingdoms, thereby bringing together the seven spiritual centers that create the white light of the soul self. While it is true that each life that can be portrayed as a failed image does not become manifest, these soul-generated personalities continue to act as low-level catalysts that connect the upper and the lower across the spectrum of the seven kingdom as they continue to exist within the soul-mind matrix. Capture every thought to Christ. 2 Cor 10:5. In the Epistle to the Corinthians, Paul commands to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. But how can such a reality be achieved? To affirm this requirement as genuine, the gospel account of Jesus warns, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Matt 12:36 KJV. Idle words can be defined as those thoughts or impressions which are not, and cannot, be returned to the source in the upper heavenly kingdom sphere of the tree of life. Which is why Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thess 5:17 KJV. We dwell in a holographic reality where the divine pattern is replicated into all the pieces and aspects that make it up. But to understand a holographic pattern, you must recognize how to apply the pattern at every level. The strength of a holographic reality is seen in the fact that if you understand and properly apply the pattern at every level, you are then able to move through the levels and eventually arrive at the top. The weakness of a holographic reality is seen in the fact that every sub-level appears to be complete. And it is this illusion of completeness that holds man captive and even a prisoner in what is portrayed in the Gospels as the outer darkness of mind and being, which parallels the analogy of Plato's cave wherein man is portrayed as a prisoner in the cave of illusions. Atheists see nothing beyond this world of physical appearances. Charles Darwin created his theory of evolution, which proclaims that no non-physical forces had any part in the creation of this world. And thus, the blindness of both the atheist and Darwin is the result of their inability to perceive beyond the barrier of the holographic reality in which they dwell. That when rightly understood, the limited perceptive and cognitive reality that is holographically presented in the gospel portrayal of the outer darkness, or the analogy of Plato's cave, has been proven to be correct by modern physicists, see science, religion, and the etheric field/mind. Modern science has demonstrated the error of the atheist and Darwin. And when the purpose of this world is fully understood, the fact of the matter is that atheists and men such as Darwin are not supposed to be able to perceive beyond the barrier of this holographic reality that is, not until they begin to achieve a degree of wholeness within themselves. The mind of man remains bound and trapped in its present organic condition until a mature degree of wholeness is achieved. A holographic reality repeats itself in every level of its being. What this means is that in the same way in accord with the holographic pattern that the physical body of man is the product of the generative essence of male and female, it is also true on the next, holographic, level, that when born into this world, man is himself a cosmic ovum or sperm, and he is therefore an aspect of the cosmic tree of life, which means that to begin to escape the outer darkness of mind and being, see outer darkness, or to escape being a prisoner in Plato's cave of illusions, man must develop himself through the process of deepening and expanding the mind by fulfilling the divine pattern and the laws within himself, that is, instituting an environment of wholeness within his own mind and being. In the above, see lack of development beyond the organic, I demonstrate that what can be portrayed as natural human consciousness is limited to the Earth 1/12 in each of the 12 spheres of mind. But as the mind begins to mature, so too does the other 11/12 THS of each sphere of mind begin to develop, thereby permitting varying degrees of wholeness to be achieved. But contrary to our cultural thinking, maturity cannot be achieved through the rote programming which is done in our educational systems and universities, but rather, the mind can only be developed and expanded beyond the 1/12 level through the interaction of the paradoxical opposites. Therefore, to even begin to accomplish this process of allegorical transformation within ourselves, we must begin by understanding that the body is surrounded and even immersed by the mind, and what we perceive in the physical body is in reality an allegorical portrayal of the mind, which means that the mind is not only the brain, but is manifest in every aspect of the body, from a person's toes to the hairs on their head. All of the body is an allegorical image projected into the physical, which is immersed in the field or atmosphere of the mind. In understanding that the mind is an etheric field which surrounds and immerses the body in a similar manner that the earth is surrounded by its atmosphere, as stated above, it is important to understand that, holographically, all thoughts are generated in that part of the mind associated with the sex centers of the body, which is why the many prohibitions against fornication and adultery exist in the scriptures and the Bible. Therefore, the mystic understands that the physical sex centers of man possess a deeper allegorical meaning of mind and spirit, which also means that physical procreation is a byproduct of the sex centers, and not the whole purpose of these centers of generation. Therefore, once it is recognized that all thoughts are generated in the spheres of mind of the tree of life associated with the organs of generation that man and woman, when joined as one flesh, are half of each other as a cosmic embryo, and while these thoughts and impressions have the innate potential to be returned to the source in the uppermost sphere of mind as patterned in the Tree of Life diagram at the right, the ability of the seeker/disciple to fulfill the requirement of capturing every thought and making it obedient to Christ is dependent upon creating the necessary environment of the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed within their own mind, being, and life. In order to permit and allow the thoughts and impressions to be formed in the lower earthly kingdom of the pattern of the Tree of Life, arise in transformative maturity and return to the source in the upper heavenly kingdom. But to accomplish this, the thoughts and impressions must prevail over the division of the outer columns of the tree of duality being united to its opposite half and arise through the center tree of life, which means that linear, male, and intuitive, female, impressions must be joined and made one flesh in order to mature and arise into the higher plane. When Jesus accused the leaders of the Jews of throwing away the key of knowledge in their carnal interpretations of the scriptures, interpreting the scriptures outwardly, instead of turning them within understanding their meaning as pertaining to the inner tree of life, see the third fatal mistake. For doing this, Jesus portrayed the leaders of the Jews as blind guides. The leaders of the Jews failed to understand not only the nature of the scriptures, but also the nature of this world with any enlightened depth. In a holographic reality, anything that can be applied to the macrocosm of the cosmic tree of life can equally be applied to the microcosm of the internal tree of life. Earthquakes, storms, wars, marriages, as well as any other outward event, place, or phenomena, can be used to portray inward realities of mind and spirit. And it was with this understanding and knowledge that the biblical authors composed their scriptures as the key of knowledge that, when turned within self, enabled the seeker/disciple to escape the organic limitations of this world. And this enlightened understanding was correctly set forth by the Church Father Origen, who wrote in De Principis, but all the narrative portion, relating either to the marriages, or to the begetting of the children, or to battles of different kinds, or to any other histories whatever, what else can they be supposed to be, save the forms and figures of hidden and sacred things? Thus, in a holographic reality, whatever is presented as outward phenomena can also be understood as existing within one's own mind and being, especially marriages, or to the begetting of the children, or to battles of different kinds, or to any other histories whatever. And in failing to understand that the outer world of man is a reflection of the inner, the leaders of the Jews were correctly portrayed as blind guides. But so too are modern religious and academic authorities equally as blind as were the Pharisees who Jesus condemned for throwing the key of knowledge away in their carnal interpretations and thinking.